take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 18. And I think that's on page 985 in the church Bibles. I'm using a different Bible, and it's very large type. So that's why I had to look at the church Bible page. And the passage we're looking at is verses 15 to 20. And I'll just pray before we read the word and preach it. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that it will guide us all. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to each and every one of us this day. And pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, verse 15. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So what I want to do is just tell a short story before I get to the word. I would just like to tell you a short story about something that happened at school with one of my sisters. I've got three sisters, and she was about sort of seven or eight, and she was sitting in the class, and she had these plaits on her hair, and the girl behind her used to tweak them, pull, 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 and sort of annoy her. And one day she came home and told my father. Now, my father said, okay, this is what you do. The next time she does that to you, you pick up a ruler, you turn around, and you hit her. And that's what happened the next day. Tweak, tweak, tweak. She turned around and hit her. Well, can you imagine anyone who's a teacher or whatever, the whole class is in chaos. They were taken out. They were excluded from the class. Ended up in detention and 100 lines and all that sort of stuff in those days. And then eventually, on the promise that they would behave properly and obey the rules of the school, they could come back in. Now, that story is really about punishment. You do one thing, you get punished. This passage is not about punishment. It follows the parable of the wandering sheep, whereby there are 100 sheep and one wanders away. And I think this passage is talking about those who wander. And the whole of Matthew 18 is a sort of teaching section in Matthew. And 18, 10 to 14 teaches people to go after those who wander, the wandering sheep. The who. And 18, 15 to 20, Jesus teaches people to challenge each other's sin, the how. So the parable of the sheep is the who, and this section is the how. How do we challenge each other's sin? Now, we know that sin started in the Garden of Eden. It was disobedience to God. It resulted in a broken relationship with God and wandering away. And only Jesus, we know only Jesus on the cross, could renew this relationship by the forgiveness of our sins. And this section is dealing with sin in the church, in the local fellowship. And it sounds awful, doesn't it? We don't like to necessarily think about it, but we must. Because sin by a brother or sister can happen because we are sinners, albeit forgiven sinners. And there's always this tension between the fleshly self and the Holy Spirit, of which our earthly body is the temple. And Jesus has an awareness that as he brings together forgiven sinners, there will be complications flowing from our sinful attitudes and actions. The teaching section challenges his followers to consider how they can best organize their life together in a way which reflects the values of the kingdom. So my first point is Jesus wants us to win back the wanderer. It's about winning back, and it's not about punishment. So when I read this, it read rather like a protocol, a series of steps. You do one, two, three, and then there's the consequences. So Jesus wants us to win back the wanderer, and it is about winning back someone who has sinned, the sin of wandering away. And in verse 15 it says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. So the first step is to discuss it in private. And it has to be done. And if they accept it, it says, you've won them over. That's great. And relationship is restored, and you know, things move on. Now, in this one-to-one, it's about seeking the person's good, the sinner's good, the wanderer, even if they've sinned. Not trying to show how good we are. No one is good except God alone, Mark 10, verse 18. And it's about being concerned for a brother, the wanderer. And the thing is, we're all sheep, aren't we? And what do sheep do? Sheep are prone to wander. And that's what it talked about in the parable, the wandering sheep. We are all prone to wander. So it's about being concerned for a brother or sister who may be wandering away. And it's about someone taking the initiative and not shying away. It's about putting others first before ourselves, and about not leaving things to fester away. Bear in mind always that in Colossians 3 verse 13 it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. We have to do it in a humble manner and not a judgmental manner. So to illustrate this, it could be a brother or sister behaving in an ungodly manner. And that encompasses quite a lot, doesn't it? Behaving badly. Okay, getting drunk every now and again. And things like that. Not sort of godly behavior. It could be a brother or sister missing church a lot. This starting to wander away. A brother or sister behaving badly to others in the fellowship. It's difficult, isn't it? This is quite a difficult situation. But we have to go after them. This is what the passage says. Go and point out their fault. Are we doing that? That's the challenge. Are we doing that? Are we ignoring it and not wishing to face the issue? Second point, Jesus wants us to persist to win back others. And it says, In verse 16, but if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So what does this mean? It means getting two or three witnesses, two or three, if I could say, godly people together to discuss the situation. So it's not just a one-to-one, it's now two or three people with that person. And the advantage of that is that it can be witnessed. It says established by the testimony, it's witnessed. And they can be a little bit disconnected from the immediate situation. It's another viewpoint. And hopefully that person who has sinned will be won back. And that's the whole point of it, is the winning back of the wanderer. And it guards against, two or three people, it guards against misunderstanding, misrepresentation. So what happens that they just say, well, okay, just jog on. Thanks very much for the discussion, but, I'm moving on. Thank you, nice to see you. And in all this, we have to remember that we are sinners and we have an attitude of humility. But we can't leave it alone. What do we do then? So are we doing this or leaving it and hoping it will go away? And my third point is, Jesus doesn't want our brother to perish. If they are not won back, or they will not listen, then the next stage three is to tell it to the church. So what is the church? Is it the whole fellowship? We all get together and, there the person is, the person who's wandering away. Do we all get together? Can I suggest we don't? I suggest that it would be the pastors and elders would represent the church. And rather than the whole thing being sort of washed in public. It's a case of using wisdom and experienced leaders to decide how this should be handled, and hopefully, again, that the end result would be that person would listen and there would be restoration and a winning back of our brother or sister. But then, what happens again if, thanks very much, I've had another discussion, jog on, I'm going my way. We can't leave it. And it says here that in verse 17, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I hope there aren't any tax collectors in this room, because we're not getting at you. But tax collectors and pagans were outside the church. They were considered outsiders. And this is quite severe, isn't it? This is what the Word of God says. Treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. So we've gone through the whole protocol, the steps, and yet nothing's happened. And what's the purpose of this? The purpose of this really is to shock the brother or sister out of sin and to repent. I mean, it's pretty drastic, isn't it? You're going to be an outsider. We've gone through all the steps. Now, this procedure or protocol, it's not going to be a couple of weeks or even a couple of months. It could be quite a long time. And it's just the Word of God. This is what we have to do for one who's wandering. And we do it out of concern. We're worried for them. Do we like to see someone wandering away from God? No, we don't. It's very awkward. And I have to say that Sadly, I think in many churches around the world, if only they had followed this, it would have prevented a lot of sorrow. So that leaves us, how does Jesus want us to proceed and what's the challenge? Well, we know what the challenge is. It's all about reconciliation and winning back the wanderer. We don't want the sinner cast out. But God cannot allow his church to keep company with or be contaminated by those who reject the word of God, the hand of fellowship and reconciliation. Sadly, they must be allowed to go their own way, but we continue to pray and hope for their repentance and forgiveness. So then we come to verse 18. Now, I have to say I struggled with this a little bit. Binding and loosening, what's all that about? Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I did really struggle as to how to sort of explain this. And I looked it up. I had to do a bit of research, and I came up with quite a good explanation, I hope, which I'm going to read. It's not me, it's someone else writing it, but I thought it was a really helpful explanation. It says, after that process, the process we've just discussed, which Jesus described, we have to remember this is Jesus talking. Our brother or sister rejects the efforts to reconcile. Then we are authorized as a small group, not individually, not retributively, to regretfully convict or bind that situation and disassociate with the offending person until he or she changes the sinful behavior. Likewise, when our brother or sister turns away from persistent sin, we are joyfully authorized by Jesus himself to acquit or loose that situation and restore full faith family relations in reconciliation. So I hope that's helful, because I struggled with this verse about loosening and binding, what it means, and I looked it up, and there's quite a few different explanations, but I thought that maybe encompassed it. And then we come to verse 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Very well known verse. But in this context, I think what it's really saying is that in all this protocol, all this procedure of someone wandering away and trying to win them back, the lost sheep, trying to win them back, God is with us. He is in the problem. And as we go through it, he is with us every step of the way. And that's a mighty promise. Now, I wrote here the power of church discipline. In a way, I'm slightly uncomfortable with the word discipline. It's quite a sort of tough word. But the procedure is not in the hands of a single person, but more than one person. And prayer must go along with it. So through all this procedure, protocol, there will be prayer. And where we ask for God to move in that situation, he will move. And he says, I am with them. So, first of all, Jesus wants us to win back. Jesus wants us to persist to win back and not leave it alone. Jesus doesn't want our brother to perish. I'm patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish. And Jesus is the one who reconciles us and our relationship with the Father God. So the application is that we follow and copy Jesus. These are Jesus' words that he's teaching to the disciples, but it's also to the church, the local fellowship, us. That's what it means, it's us, the fellowship. We want to be like Jesus, and Jesus is the one who did not sin, but many sinned against him. Yet he extended mercy and forgiveness to sinners like us. You know, we have to, I mean, I was a wanderer. I have to say I wandered away. When I left school, I wandered. I wandered away for, I don't know what it was, 20 years. And then I was won back. And I just thank God for that. And when we have this situation of someone possibly wandering away from the fellowship, we have to put them first, try and win them back for God's glory. And when we follow Jesus, we must extend mercy, just as he extended mercy and forgiveness to us. And we must seek reconciliation. Jesus, the great reconciler, he reconciled us to Father God as he hung on the cross. And we must put others first. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, today for your word. Help us to receive it and to apply it. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word and your guidance. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to you. And just as you are the good shepherd, and a shepherd will always go after the wandering sheep, help us, Lord, to be aware that we should play our part in winning back the wanderer. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.